This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I'll tell you what, whenever we have Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal on this show, we always like to start with some good news, and I think it's very easy to find the good news today. The good news is not only the top headline in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet, but it's also the even bigger story, top of the fold, on the Big Sky Business Journal print edition. Evelyn Pyburn, great to have you, as always, with us here every Monday.
Yes, well, I'm glad to be here. And the good news is that Northwestern Energy is in the process of testing each of the generating units at their Laurel, their new electric generating station in Laurel. And they are expecting, because everything is going well, to have it up and running in July. And even if they encounter a problem, it will, no matter what, be up and running no later than September 1, according to Northwestern Energy President and CEO Brian Bird. So that is the really good news, even though they were... This is a few months later than they anticipated being up and running. They had hoped to be able to meet peak power demands in the winter, and of course, because of a court decision that halted construction, they were not able to do that. But it appears that they will be able to be operational during the next likely peak period use for hot weather. So. All of that is really good news. The purpose, of course, the reason that this is really good news is it avoids Northwestern Energy from having to go out on the market and purchase energy during peak periods of use, which is very expensive. Last winter, they purchased something like $18 million in power, and this is going to stop the need for those kinds of purchases.
Yeah, very good news. Very good news. This is one of those rare occasions where I'd say, thankfully, it's an election year. We've got this headline about the natural gas power plant in Laurel about to be up and running. There's another headline from KTVH about how the copper mine near White Sulphur Springs is about to start construction. And I got to say, thankfully, it's an election year. Hopefully, that will keep these left-wing courts at bay, because I think they know that if they halted either one of these projects right in the middle of the election, that that would just cause a fury across the state of Montana. Of course, it was a liberal judge in Yellowstone County, Democrat-appointed judge, that tried to put a halt to this gas-fired power plant in Laurel. But then, of course, later the project got the green light. That judge is no longer on the bench, thankfully, but we've got very left-wing Supreme Court justices in charge of the Montana Supreme Court that have often done the bidding of these radical Democrat Party climate activists. So anyway, more on that good news right after this with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Former Democratic Rhode Island Representative Jim Langevin was the first quadriplegic in Congress. When Langevin entered Congress, lawmakers slowly began constructing a series of ramps to make it more accessible for the Rhode Island Democrat. Included in the fiscal 2024 legislative branch appropriations law was $450,000 in funding for new drop-off and pickup zones for those with disabilities visiting the Capitol. Congress set aside another $350,000 for a similar zone on the Senate side of the campus. It's a small sum and a seemingly minor change. But for people with disabilities coming to Capitol Hill, Langevin says it could make a difference. Quote, "It's really vitally important. With all the security barriers, it's not easy to get picked up and dropped off at the Capitol campus. And you don't want to do that right in the middle of oncoming traffic," said Langevin. Currently, a roundabout near the Garfield Monument west of the Capitol is one place visitors could be dropped off. But the area is also used by tour buses and is at the bottom of Capitol Hill. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies, along with some rain showers and a few storms in some spots today, high temperatures range from around 53 in Bozeman to around 69 in the Billings area.
For tonight, more rain showers continuing. Temperatures all bottom out in the mid-30s across the Bozeman area, with low temperatures, meanwhile, to the mid-40s in Billings. More showers likely Tuesday. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Riley Gaines, Tulsi Gabbard, where did you hear him? Well, you heard him right here with Montana Talks. Not only is Montana Talks the show where you get to talk, but if there's something big happening in Montana or there's a big Montana connection with a big story, we're going to land it for you. Montana Talks. We take you statewide every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. right here. And we love taking your phone calls. We also get your messages that come in on our app and more, because that's what it's all about, giving you the opportunity to be heard across Montana.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this is a 175 megawatt natural gas fired power plant, and should have already been up and running, but you had a liberal judge in Yellowstone County order a halt to it. It's important to point out also that these radical left wing Democrat Party climate activist groups are still suing this natural gas power plant. In fact, the Democrat candidate for governor, Ryan Bussey, his kids are a part of the Climate Kids lawsuit that want to shut down everything, including a lot of jobs in Butte, Montana, of course. But the Climate Kids that are part of the Climate Kid lawsuit are also filed a brief in support of blocking the natural gas power plant set to open in Laurel as well. Evelyn Pyburn, what else did you want to share about this great news about the fact that that the power plant is soon to open?
Well, besides the fact that it means that we're going to save money from not having to buy power on the market, it will bring Northwestern Energy to the point of acquiring half of the energy, the power that they need, and they will get the rest of the supply when they acquire the Avista-owned plant at Colstrip the beginning of next year. And then they will be pretty well set to meet the demands and needs in the state for energy. And I think that's something they've been struggling with, and it's great to see light at the end of the tunnel there for everybody. In talking to Mr. Bird, who, if nobody's listened to him talk about energy and everything, he is really dynamic and is really interesting. But he talked with me a little bit about the frustrations of trying to achieve these things because of the huge time frames it takes to get things approved and through the process. It takes years and years, and he believes that there are ways to do all of this legal processing, the testing and licensing, much, much faster. And it's just interesting to understand some of the problems that the energy industry faces regarding all the regulatory environment out there. So,
yeah. Yeah, in fact, I'll have to reach out to him because we're going to be busting out of this studio once again. Start next week, we're going to be doing a statewide Border Patrol rally tour. We've got retired Border Patrol Chief Chris Clem is going to be in Montana June 24th through the 29th to expose Senator John Tester's failures and also to talk about how we truly can secure our border. So I'm going to be, we're going to be in Missoula on Monday, Kalispell Tuesday, Great Falls Wednesday. I'll be doing our show from out on the town in Butte a week from Thursday, and then we'll have some other events in Butte, and then we'll do a Border Patrol rally in Bozeman that night, the 28th as well. So SecureBorderSecureMontana.com is the website if folks want to get those events on their calendars and on their radar. I'll have to reach out to Northwestern Energy because we'll be right across the street for part of the day that day to talk more about this news and so much more. Let's see. Evelyn, you were telling me you looked into these EV goals, electric vehicle goals. You know, isn't it interesting that the very people who want to force all these electric vehicles onto the market are also some of the same people that oppose power plants that would power these EVs? But you looked into some of these impossible to achieve EV goals.
Well, yes. I encountered this study by Fraser Institute, which looked at apparently both U.S. and Canada, and the federal government has mandated that all new light-duty vehicles must be electric by 2035. But the data, the facts, says that just isn't going to happen at all. Achieving that goal would require vastly more electrical generation capacity and an enormous expansion of the number of charging stations available. And bear in mind, we are hearing already of EV sales collapsing despite both subsidies from the government and from the automobile companies slashing prices. Still, you know, they're going broke because of their, I must say, silly investment in EVs. The study found that handling the higher load for electricity would require either 13 large new natural gas plants or the equivalent of 10 new mega dams at a cost of about $16 billion for hydro, which is not remotely feasible, especially since it takes 10 years to get environmental approval and another 10 years to build a dam.
And meanwhile, Joe Biden is trying to tear down the dams with this secret agreement in the Pacific Northwest that would jeopardize electric ratepayers in western Montana, too, as they try to shut down Colstrip in eastern Montana. I mean, they are doing everything wrong you could possibly think of. Joe Biden is figuring out how to do it, right? All right, hold that thought. Bill Gates, speaking of electricity, Bill Gates visited the potential nuclear power facility in Wyoming. I'll tell you about that next.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
No one would dispute that President Biden at 81 sometimes looks old and a little frail. Donald Trump just turned 78. But when the president was at the G7 meeting in Italy, some media outlets got used by the Republican National Committee, which put out a misleading video that looked to be Joe Biden straying off from the assembled world leaders talking to no one. And that wound up on the cover of the New York Post, Meander in Chief. But if you look at it from a slightly broader angle, the president was actually talking to a skydiver who just landed there as part of a show and giving the man a thumbs up. Now, to put this out based on RNC propaganda, and by the way, the White House said that this was lying and desperation, just strikes me as making a whole lot of something over a very minor incident. And the press has to be very careful about that. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies, along with some rain showers and a few storms in some spots today, high temperatures range from around 53 in Bozeman to around 69 in the Billings area. For tonight, more rain showers continuing. Temperatures will bottom out in the mid-30s across the Bozeman area, with low temperatures, meanwhile, to the mid-40s in Billings. More showers likely Tuesday. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is where Montana talks at, with Lane Nordlund.
This past week, over 30 livestock auctioneers competed for the 2024 title of World Livestock Auctioneer Champion. And this year, Mr. Wade Least of Boyne City, Michigan, received the top honor. But from Montana, 21-year-old Mr. Jace Thompson of Billings, Montana, who sells cattle each week at Montana Livestock Auction in Ramsey, made the top 10 finals and was crowned the 2024 Rookie of the Year for the World Livestock Auctioneer Championship.
253-4-4.
Jace is one heck of a young man, and during the finals, he actually took a moment to thank his biggest supporters, that being his grandpa Warren Thompson and his dad, the 2009 World Livestock Auctioneer Champion, Ty Thompson.
Two people, we got a second here. Two people, my dad and my grandpa, came with me to Oklahoma City, and it sure means a lot to have them here. They were kind of the professors of the School of the Hard Knocks for me, and I wouldn't be half of where I am today if it wasn't for them. So I do want to thank them while I got them here, and we got a second.
Again, that was 21-year-old Mr. Jace Thompson of Billings, Montana, the 2024 Rookie of the Year for the World Livestock Auctioneer Championship, and no doubt will be a world champion himself someday, just like his dad, Mr. Ty Thompson. Congrats, Jace, and good luck in the years ahead. I'm Lane Northlund.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here every Monday at the start of the 7 o'clock hour. We get back to business with your business news here and Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn, I don't know if you're a member of the electric cooperative like I am, but I got the Rural Montana magazine, and when I flew out to the D.C. area about a week or so ago, I was able to flip through it. And let's see, this was a write-up for Rural Montana Magazine by Heidi Haugen Groves with the Burke Divide Electric Cooperative, I think out of North Dakota. Anyway, I'm reading this, and let me just share a couple of highlights here. So their electric cooperative purchased an EV, the Ford Lightning pickup, right? That's a Ford F-150 Lightning EV. And even in the summer, I mean, she had to sit there for an hour and 22 minutes to charge the vehicle from 40% to 90%. And then she stopped in Fargo for 7 hours with a level 2 charger during her meetings. And at the end of the meeting, it took an hour and 5 minutes to charge from 43% to 90%. And so anyway, even when you use the better chargers or when you use the intermediate chargers, you still have to sit there for over an hour to get this thing to charge. And then you're still not getting that much of a range out of this thing. I mean, it was very eye opening to see just how unreliable these things actually are, especially in rural America.
Well, yes, and there aren't enough chargers out there. And one of the big subsidy programs lines that they would have to implement is called Zero Emission Vehicle Infrastructure Program. And it provides $680 million subsidy to build more chargers and make them more available. And this comes after all kinds of other subsidies, such as a 30% tax credit for assembling the vehicles and for battery production. And it just goes on and on. Everybody who buys a vehicle gets a $5,000 subsidy, and there are tax credits being made. And they want to build a $15 billion subsidized plant for Honda to build these cars, and then all of that is kind of almost nothing compared to the need for batteries and the fact that this study said that they would need no fewer than 388 new lithium, nickel, and cobalt mines to comply with regulations, and those mines take 9 years for a lithium mine to start, 13 to 18 years for a nickel. This is just for the regulation part of it, not for production. And so 13 to 18 years for a nickel mine, and the year 2035 is only 11 years away. So the impossibility of this just goes on and on. And the Fraser study noted that in the end, when all is said and done, there will be no net benefit to the world environment, especially when the mining that has to happen.
So they're basically going to completely throw the American economy and the Western world under the bus, complete economic catastrophe, and for what? It will do absolutely nothing for the environment. And then they've also got a piece in the Rural Montana Magazine about winter driving in the Ford Lightning, and basically, the power availability in the severe cold that we get here in Montana, North Dakota, dramatically reduces the reliability of these vehicles. I'll share some more numbers later this hour of the show. About a minute or so to go before we get to our Fox News update. Evelyn Pyburn, what else is standing out to you?
Well, there were several things in the hot sheet, but I think a fun thing is the fact that the Montana Chamber of Commerce is launching a new competition. And it's called What's Cool, you know, What's the Coolest Thing Made in Montana? And this is in recognition of our manufacturing industry. And they have on their website, you can nominate what you think is the coolest thing that Montana manufacturers make. And then July 1st is the deadline for making these nominations. And then we have until October, which is National Manufacturing Month, but to vote on this. Everybody gets to vote on what they think is the coolest thing made in Montana.
Yeah, and so they get a make nominations, and you can make your nominations for what you think is the coolest thing made in Montana, and then vote on it eventually. The website from the hot sheet here is montanachamber.com. Montanachamber.com to submit those nominees. Man, guns, outdoor gear, fishing waders, all sorts of cool stuff made in Montana. Evelyn Pyburn, always appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us. Okay, looks like we don't have the...
Mark revealed in a new campaign ad out today.
This election is between a convicted criminal only out for himself and a president who's fighting for your family.
Taking on Donald Trump's weekend message in Michigan.
The decades before I took office, Joe Biden and his cronies in Washington got rich by selling off Michigan jobs and selling out Detroit. That's what they did. That's why your car business is so far down.
Well, President Biden is reported with a new plan to give mass legal status to illegal migrants who've been here over 10 years and are married to a U.S. citizen. Oklahoma Republican Kevin Hearn tells Fox Business.
The Democrats, they don't really care about the people as themselves. They just need more voters so they can assure that these kind of policies to destroy America and put America last, not first, is what we'll see for the future.
America is listening to Fox News.
Hey, for those of you who missed it earlier in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, or maybe you didn't see the story on our Montana Talks website, I've got this headline for you. Montana rancher, don't subject our troops to lab-grown meat. Yeah, Brian Massard, Dillon, Montana rancher, who is, I think he was just on the radio show with us last week or the week before. He's got Reminis Angus down there. He went off after hearing these news reports, these valid news reports, that the Defense Department is going to basically force lab-grown fake meat onto our troops. Anyway, Pentagon wants to feed troops experimental lab-grown meat to reduce CO2 footprint. I loved the email that we got from Chris in Livingston earlier. Chris said, hey, if they're going to have lab rats be forced to try out this lab-grown meat, maybe the members of Congress should have to eat this fake meat in their dining facility. Use them as the lab rats instead of our great American troops. I love that email from Chris in Livingston. Hey, I tell you what, you don't want fake meat. You want real meat. You want real beef. You want Montana beef. Let me tell you how you can get your hands on some great Montana beef, some Wagyu beef. I told you, I've already had their ribeyes, and the marbling in these ribeyes was incredible. I mean, saturated with flavor. Absolutely incredible. Good, healthy Montana beef. And then they even have Wagyu beef hot dogs, which were great as well. Especially, you know, in the summer, you're always craving a hot dog. These Wagyu beef hot dogs were incredible. Wagyu beef. Our friends at Avalanche Ranch, Townsend, Montana, that's what they produce. They produce Wagyu beef. Well, now you can buy USDA certified, not that fake stuff, real Montana beef. You can buy a whole beef, a half beef, or a quarter beef from the Avalanche Ranch in Townsend, Montana. They deliver to Townsend, Helena, Hardin, and Martinsdale. And you can get ribeyes, New Yorks, brisket, burgers. I mentioned even Wagyu hot dogs. Place your order online at avalanchewagyu.com. Avalanchewagyu.com. Let's see. Bill Gates. So Bill Gates he just landed, I think it was last week or the week before. Cowboy State Daily had the news story. But Bill Gates landed down in Wyoming. You know, he's one of the backers of a proposed nuclear power plant in Wyoming. Now, what they're doing is, and as much as I'm a critic of Bill Gates, and as many of our critics of Bill Gates, what they're doing, I think, in that case seems to make sense. They're taking a coal-fired power plant that was already set to be retired, and they're going to convert it to a nuclear power facility. Anyway, Bill Gates was on, where was he at? I think he was on one of the Sunday shows over the weekend talking about, he was on Face the Nation, CBS's Face the Nation, and he talked about how there is support within both political parties. I'll share a soundbite from that interview coming up after this and then get into your phone calls. You are evil. Wyoming Congresswoman Harriet Hageman calls them out. She calls out the climate activists in front of her in Congress. We've got the full video on our Montana Talks website, plus a major expansion for LaVie. LaVie is an incredible pregnancy medical clinic that offers alternatives to abortion for young women. Check out that story, MontanaTalks.com, and Riley Gaines, Tulsi Gabbard. They call out John Tester, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'll play the soundbite here from Bill Gates on Face the Nation talking about nuclear power. And basically, he was just in Wyoming where they're converting a coal-fired power plant to a nuclear power plant down there. And, hey, why not look at doing the same thing in Colstrip? Why we mentioned this after we got back from that roundtable discussion in Colstrip, which is I thought that the Jim Acheson with the Southeast Montana Development Corporation made a great point, which is, hey, we shouldn't be talking about transitioning away from coal. Let's become an energy hub. Let Colstrip be an energy hub for all the above. They're already tapping wind and solar into the transmission lines in and around Colstrip. They've already got coal going into the transmission lines in and around Colstrip. And that coal not only powers your homes, but that coal is being burned at the power plant there is also the reason why the coal mine is up and running as well. So, okay, why don't we take, you know, Colstrip 1 and 2 that were shut down by the radical left-wing Democrats, environmental wackos. Let's turn that into a nuclear power facility. I mean, it's amazing what they can do with this new nuclear technology. In fact, I listened to a great podcast. Jordan Peterson, the Canadian psychologist, has a podcast, and he had a lengthy conversation with a nuclear power backer in Canada. Which was very interesting, very eye-opening on how different the nuclear, smaller-scale nuclear technology is of today compared to, say, the 1970s, and why you wouldn't have a meltdown with this new technology like you might have had before. And Bill Gates kind of explained that in this Face the Nation interview over the weekend as well. I'll play the Bill Gates soundbite here in a second, but first let's go to Jerry in Billings on the phone lines, and the phone number for you, 406-294-0970. Jerry, thanks for the call.
It's Gary.
Oh, Gary. All right, Gary. Yeah, good to hear from you. We've got a guest producer today, so he may not have recognized your voice.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for taking my call. We always look forward to Monday when you come on and give us the all the good news, but what I wanted to talk about is a couple of points that irritates me. These commercials that John Tester is running, the latest one was he's got a bunch of these old guys that look like about as old as I am supporting John Tester that he does so much for us, you know. He's right in the middle, like smiling like a cat eating, you know, but it's just terrible that these people believe that he does what he said he's going to do. So your comment, please.
Yeah, I think I've seen that ad that you referenced. I joked. I saw our friend Dave Rye. Dave Rye, former TV anchor. He hosted a statewide radio show that I used to host as well. A great guy, served in the legislature, but he's a Vietnam veteran. In fact, I think Dave, was it you or maybe that was it you or was it Tom Eaglehoff? They got the Purple Heart right in the kisser. I remember I joked with one of them. I was like, it was the Forrest Gump, you know, when the president and Forrest Gump asked him to, you know, I'd like to see that someday. And then Forrest Gump bends over and shows him where he got his Purple Heart at. And anyway, I forget which one of them I was joking, but both a couple of great Vietnam veterans and a couple of great broadcasters. But anyway, Dave Rye, he was talking about that ad on his Facebook page the other day. And I had to laugh, you know, because Dave Rye was saying, well, these veterans don't speak for me because I'm backing, you know, a fellow veteran, Tim Sheehy, in this U.S. Senate race. And I had to laugh because, you know, you see the handful of guys that are in that campaign commercial. And I joked, I said, that's every veteran they could find that still or that actually supports John Tester. You know, the rest of the 100,000 or so veterans across Montana, most of them are backing Navy SEAL veteran and fellow veteran Tim Sheehy. And I think that's the case there. I think John Tester kicked a hornet's nest by attacking Tim Sheehy's military service. And the fact that John Tester couldn't even be a big enough man to thank the Sheehy family for their service and sacrifice in that debate that they just had about a couple of weeks ago. I mean, it's like, you know, John, if you actually respected veterans, then you could have been the bigger man and you could have thanked him for his service and sacrifice, but then spelled out policy by policy why you disagree. But John Tester couldn't do that because he's a Washington fat cat who's been living high on the hog, who is desperate to maintain his status and the wealth that he has acquired since becoming a United States senator. There was one other thought that I had about that particular. Oh, I know what it was. I just saw Gary. Thanks for calling in. For those of you who haven't heard me mention this before, I don't typically see the TV commercials. If I'm watching a show, I watch a show that's streaming so that I don't have to watch the TV commercials. Right. In fact, watched an interesting show called Blackbird yesterday, which is a really good, interesting show. And so anyway, watched that one. I don't think I saw any commercials during that one, but I did see online on a social media page. It was a new ad by the Sheehy campaign, by Tim Sheehy. And I thought it was a great ad, but I also recognized the gentleman, the veteran that was in that campaign commercial. If you haven't seen this, I don't know if Gary, if you've seen this campaign commercial yet, but it's Tim Sheehy, and they're talking about how they started Bridger Aerospace in Belgrade, Montana. You know, this firefighting aircraft, the aerial firefighting business that Tim Sheehy not only owns, but that Tim Sheehy flies for. He actually fights fire. He actually gets behind the steering column in the cockpit and fights fires and literally saves homes and saves lives here in Montana. Not only did he fight for his country overseas as a Navy SEAL, but he still fights for his country as an aerial firefighter, which is a dangerous business, right? Very dangerous business. Anyway, the other young veteran that was in that campaign commercial is a gentleman named Tim Cherwin. I first met Tim Cherwin, God, probably a decade ago. And in fact, before I even I think it was right before I even met Tim Sheehy. Before I had even met Tim Sheehy, I met Tim Turwin. You know how I met Tim Turwin? Outlaw Brewing in Bozeman, Montana. There was a number of us veterans. We would do these vet togethers. Bunch of veterans just getting together, having a brew. And there'd be Gold Star family members there. There were veterans there, every service branch you could think of, all ages. And it was just a group of veterans just getting together, you know, BSing it. Now, I remember talking with this young man. He just got out of the military. I'll have to check on Tim's background, but I think he was a 160th pilot, if I'm not mistaken. Because I remember, wow, that's really cool. And he had just gotten out of the military. I said, well, what brought you to Bozeman, Montana? He said, well, I took a job with Bridger Aerospace, which was just a very new company at the time, right? And then now look at the incredible success of that very company. And I remember that because that's the moment that Tim Sheehy's name first got floated as a potential U.S. Senate candidate. I said, wow, that is a great candidate right there. See, John Tester wants veterans to be victims. The Democrat Party wants you to be victims. The Democrat Party needs you to be a victim because they need you to be dependent on the government. Look, if you got a great job at Colstrip, why do you need to vote for more welfare from the government? If you got a great job at the mine in Butte, you're not dependent on the government. If they shut down your mine, they shut down your timber jobs and your timber mills, they make you dependent on the government. Look at what they've done to inner cities across America. They ushered in modern day sharecropping. They want entire communities dependent on them so that they have to vote for the Democrat Party. So John Tester wants veterans to be an entire victimhood class dependent on the government. He despises this veteran success story of Tim Sheehy. Why do you think John Tester is attacking and bashing this incredible Montana success story? Because they despise success, because they want veterans to be victims. Anyway, back to this conversation. We were doing these vet togethers, and I said, man, what are you doing? Think about it. This young veteran and so many of our other fellow veterans or service members who come back home from a deployment and wonder what's next. What is the greatest uncertainty you have? It is financial and economic uncertainty. And knowing and wondering if you're going to be able to provide for your families, if you've got a life outside of that military service, outside of that sacrifice, what's next when you get home? It's an incredibly stressful time. And you think about it, the successful businesses that Tim Sheehy built here in Montana provided that economic certainty, that economic opportunity to his fellow veterans. He's been there for the men and women on his left and right, the very men and women that John Tester's thrown under the bus for nearly two decades.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive with artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
Fox News commentary.
Can you guess which major American city is one of the first to become a sanctuary for transgenders? I'm Tommy Lahren. Find out next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist, and my podcast, The Janice Dean Podcast. Every week, I'll be focusing in on a person, a place, or a thing that deserves your attention because it makes the world a better place. Be sure to subscribe to The Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
America's listening to Fox News.
Hold your shock. San Francisco has become one of the first major American cities to declare sanctuary status for trans and non-gender conforming people. So what does that mean? Well, the symbolic declaration means those identifying as transgender, gender non-conforming, intersex, and two-spirit are safe to seek transitioning health care, and providers of the care are also protected. This is in response to some red state policies which ban body altering and often irreversible trans surgeries for minors. It's quite shocking that protecting the innocence and biology of children is deemed controversial or discriminatory by the San Fran Board of Supervisors. The city of San Francisco thinks it's doing some noble or morally upstanding service by allowing minors to be operated on or otherwise mutilate their body parts. That's disturbing, to say the least. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Game. Get started today by downloading our app or go to SportsBetMontana.com.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I have to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, the sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel... A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Springs Spas, home of the only saltwater hot tub in Montana, studios.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Andy in Whitefish, did you hear about... Trans Francisco. What's the story there? Trans Francisco. I wonder. Now I gotta see. This is a story I thought I was gonna get to already. No, this is out of Los Angeles. Andy, what's the story? He just sent us a message on our Montana Talks app. What's the story out of San Francisco? Because there's a crazy one out of Los Angeles. Get this one. This is a story. I was gonna try to save this one for Thursday, you know, when David Noble's in the house with us. I was going to save this for our woke update of the week, but this is just too woke. This is too woke. I can't wait till Thursday for all this wokeness. Los Angeles, in Los Angeles, did you guys hear this? The Los Angeles City Council is removing no U-turn signs. They have removed no U-turn signs. Because apparently the, you know, when you're driving down the street and it says no U-turn here, apparently the victim crowd in the Victimhood Olympics, apparently a sign that says no U-turn is homophobic. So this is the latest from the crowd that always wants to be offended, that always wants to pretend to be victims. Now they're saying that that the U-turn sign is homophobic. Anyway, I'll tell you more about that story in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. What a freaking joke. My goodness. Bill Gates, though, I mentioned he was just down in Wyoming to check in on the progress. They're trying to build a nuclear a power plant down there, smaller scale nuclear power plant, but you can do that with the newer technology that's available. He was on Face the Nation on CBS over the weekend. And he talked about the huge bipartisan support for nuclear power.
The Republicans may emphasize the security issues and energy security, exporting these power things to the entire world. The Democrats value those things, but they also value that it's a clean source of energy and that it's, because it's not weather dependent, it can fill in the periods where the renewables are not producing. Mm-hmm. And so of all the climate-related work I'm doing, I'd say the one that has the most bipartisan energy behind it is actually this nuclear work.
All right. Now, it was interesting, too. He said that they've had talks about, you know, building nuclear power at 10 different locations, if I remember right. But there was a Jordan Peterson. So again, why not Colstrip? Why not in Montana? We've got uranium deposits in Montana. Wyoming's got a massive deposit of uranium. Canada, apparently Saskatchewan, Canada. That's what I heard in this Jordan Peterson podcast. Saskatchewan, Canada, our neighbors to the north, one of our neighbors to the north, has a huge deposit of uranium, but they're not really tapping into it. So most of the uranium, we're dependent on Central Asia for most of our uranium, but if we had more nuclear power facilities across North America, that would mean more mining across North America as well. So anyway, very interesting story, interesting conversation there. you know, I don't know what you guys did for the weekend. Hopefully you had a great Father's Day weekend. Hopefully you got out, whether it's a game of golf or a hike. We got out on the lake, had a great time on the pontoon. Never a bad day when you're on the pontoon. Always a good time out there. But some of you are thinking, yeah, I wish I would have played a game of golf. I wish I would have gone for a hike. But, man, I got these knees or I got these hips or, man, my back. I hear you on the lower back thing. Let me tell you about QC Kinetics. If you want to dodge surgery, and if you want to avoid those painkiller drugs, let me tell you about a natural treatment solution. QC Kinetics specializes. They're the nation's leader in regenerative medicine. That's where they take the healing properties that are already in your body, put them directly into those achy joints. You can get a free consultation. Give QC Kinetics a call right now for a free consultation, 406-201-6263. QC Kinetics free consultation.